Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Ray Iles, executive editor of Food & Wine magazine, is here to talk to us about some of our choices for the holiday season. You might be hosting a meal for the first time in a while and want a small, crowd-pleasing wine, or if you're the guest and you want to bring something that says both, thanks for having me and enjoy this after we leave. Whatever the occasion, Ray is here to answer your questions about festive libations, which means we want to hear from you. Hey, everybody, Team All of It, let's crowdsource this. Do you have a tried and true wine that you always bring? Maybe you've tried something new recently and you want to tell us, or maybe you're heading to your first get-together in a while and you need some guidance. We are here to help. And by we, I mean Ray. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Or you can always hit us up on social media at All of It WNYC. Executive wine editor of Food & Wine magazine joins us. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Allison. How are you?
I am doing great. So I want to start with some practical notions.
Sure.
I want to know about holiday guest lists, because they can grow pretty quickly. Is there any particular rule of thumb about wine to people ratio?
Yeah, there actually is. I mean, I'm not like a party planner. I'm a party, like, throw it together and hope it works out well person. but I did talk to some party planners a while back about this, and it's generally speaking, it's a glass of wine per person per hour is your rough kind of general guess. You know, it may be a little, but depends on your friends. That could be five glasses of wine per person per hour if you've got crazy friends, or, you know, if they don't drink at all, then it's no glasses of wine per person. But, and the other thing to keep in mind is that a bottle of wine, if you pour heavy, it's about 6 ounces, it's about 4 glasses per bottle. Or kind of standard restaurant pour, which is 5 ounces, it's 5 glasses per bottle. So that, you just do the math and you kind of end up with where you need to be. I don't want to make this into a math lesson, but basically, so you got five people, you got 1 hour, you got one bottle of wine. It's, you know, if you're just standing around at a cocktail party. So that's the rule of thumb. The thing I always say though, is like, if you're looking at Thanksgiving and you're basically looking at the store right now thinking I need to get the wine for Thanksgiving. You know, the nice thing about wine as opposed to turkeys or cheese or anything is that wine lasts just fine. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have more parties during the season. So just like buy a bunch of wine now. If you don't pour it all, you know, every other holiday is coming up. You've got, you know, holiday, you know, parties with friends, holiday parties with relatives. So just like go long now and then pour it through the rest of the season.
Well, when you think about what is served at Thanksgiving, are there any wine profiles to avoid given the kind of food that gets put on the table around Thanksgiving?
You know, so I actually, just for fun on Facebook recently, I asked people, just kind of like friends in the wine business, their least favorite, most horrible, like bad turkey pairing, alienate your relatives, horrible, alarming wine choices. And I got like 275 responses to this. And the two absolute winners in terms of worst choice, and this is not terribly surprising, is Retsina, which is, you know, a pine resin Greek wine, pine resin, you know, infused Greek wine that to me tastes kind of like pine sol, and then Pinotage, which is the South African grape that everybody just loves to hate. The one thing I will say is that the one wine that no one slagged off in the whole thing was Pinot Noir. There was no negative vote for Pinot Noir in the entire 270 comments or whatever. So that tells you Pinot is a good option.
That was my next question, was the crowd pleaser. So it seems like Pinot Noir is a good crowd pleaser. Any others that, you know, always scratch the itch?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Pinot is a go-to for sommeliers in restaurants because it pairs so broadly with everything. I think good quality Pinot Grigio or Pinot Gris from Oregon, which is the same grape, can be wonderful. I think the best Pinot Grigio is from Alto Adige in Italy, where I actually am right now, which is random but cool as far as I'm concerned. And Pinot Gris from Oregon, which is kind of the flip side of that grape. And there's some beautiful wines out there. The nice thing is they're not oaky. They're crisp. They pair widely with everything. And what you really want for Thanksgiving is something that's going to go, or holiday parties in general, is something that's going to go with a whole lot of stuff. And also realistically, in terms of like pairing, I think the key thing is pairing is not the food so much as the people. You kind of pair to the people you're inviting. It's, I mean, in that Facebook comment I did, a friend of mine named Mills Bernstein, who's a food writer, said, you know, some orange wines are spectacular with Thanksgiving, but almost always alienating to relatives. It's like, you know, the first key thing is don't alienate the people you invited to the party. If it's your aunts and uncles and grandparents and they love Chardonnay, pour them some Chardonnay, you know, make them happy.
Let's go to some calls. Billy is calling in from Bloomfield, New Jersey, on line two. Hey, Billy, thanks for calling all of it. I'd love to hear your recommendation.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Allison. I'm so excited to be on the air. This is so thrilling for me. I can't believe I'm calling about wine. So this this recommendation is for the broke 20-somethings and college students who want to bring something that's, you know, not a 5-liter bottle of Franzia or a bag of wine to family Thanksgiving, you know, delicious wine that still doesn't break the bank. The Ruffino Chianti comes in, you know, single, double-sized bottles. It's easy to drink. It's delicious. And it doesn't, you know, and it doesn't look super cheap and nasty on the table.
I like all your descriptions, Billy. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm glad you didn't call in and give us a cheap and nasty wine.
Don't pour the cheap and nasty. Pour the inexpensive and wonderful is what you're after.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Ray, about that, because the New York Times is saying everybody's talking about how expensive Thanksgiving is going to be this year. Do you have any options that for folks who, you know, let's say under $25? That's still a little spendy for some people, but let's go there.
I mean, there's so much. There's honestly so much good wine under $25. It's. I mean, a lot of people in the business say, in a weird way, we live in kind of a golden age for wine because there's super expensive wine that's great, but there's a lot of really good affordable wines. Like the Pinot, you know, the two Pinot Grigios I liked in a recent tasting I did, one from Tiefenbrunner and one from a producer named Peter Zimmer, are both, I don't know, $14.99, $15.99, something like that. Beautiful wines. There's a good Pinot Noir from a brand called Pinot Project that, again, is pretty findable and under $20, I'm pretty sure, unless it's gone up a little bit. And I think, you know, Beaujolais, always a great choice, crowd pleasing, can get good bottles for, you know, $18-$20. And if you want bubbles, I mean, champagne, real champagne is going to push you over to sort of $35 and up. But if you pour cava from Spain, which is made the same way as champagne, it just uses Spanish grapes, Segura Viudas, there's a ton of them out there. Again, $17-$18 a bottle. Sparkling, wonderful, fun. Mm-hmm. New Year's is coming up too. Got to have some bubbles for New Year's. So I really think, you know, the main advice I give is instead of hitting the grocery store aisle where there's no one to give you advice and it's often kind of mass brands. And that's not New York so much, because New York can't sell wine, but we've got callers from Jersey and so on. You know, go to a wine store that has people who really love wine, know what they're talking about, will talk to you, find out what you like and tell you stuff. It's, you know, you may pay a buck more to go to a small wine shop rather than a big mass kind of place, but you earn it back almost always in recommendations, I think.
Yeah. Don't go to a wine barn.
Don't go to a wine barn. Avoid the wine barn. And avoid the wine, you know, the wine shack and the wine, you know, the wine hanger, and, you know, go to a place you can actually, you know, don't go to a place that looks like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's not what you want, you know.
My guest is Ray Isle from Food and Wine Magazine. We are talking about holiday wines. If you have a holiday wine that you love to bring, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Or if you have a question about a wine that you'd like to ask Ray Isle, this is your opportunity. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Of course, you can hit us up on social media at @OliveItWNYC. Okay, so I was going to ask you about, let's talk about something locally. And by locally, I don't mean Rome, Italy, where you are.
Right. I mean, so local at the moment.
I mean, local in our area. If someone thinks, you know what, I'd really like to pick up a local wine to bring. Any suggestions?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, both the Finger Lakes, upstate and also Long Island have some terrific wines coming out of them right now. For Long Island, Macari is making some terrific wines. I tend to lean more towards reds from Long Island and then dry Rieslings from the Finger Lakes. I think Finger Lakes produces some of the best dry Rieslings in the country. They're really terrific wines. Ravines is a great producer. Dr. Frank makes great wines. Herman Beamer. Those are all really good. And then, you know, in Long Island, you know, we're close in. Shin Estate just changed its name to another name. And that's weird because I've known them as Shin Estate for years and they shifted. But they make lovely wines. As I said, you know, Macari makes terrific wines. Sparkling Point makes some really good sparkling wines out of Long Island. And, you know, it's tough competing with California. It's produces far more wine than anywhere in the rest of the US. We drink more California wine than we drink anything else, but I love buying local and supporting local producers. And, you know, I did an article I guess it came out in May for the magazine about touring Long Island wines and wineries, which I researched in February in the depth of the pandemic shutdown with like snow and masks and you know, everything shut down and kind of crawling into wineries, you know, sub-zero. So I feel a bond with that article.
Let's check in with Edith, who is called in from the Upper West Side on line one. Hi, Edith. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Yes, me too. My suggestion is it's a little bit in the opposite direction. It's a rather pricey wine, but it's kind of different than others. And it's a Malbec. Up here where I live, it can cost up to $40 a bottle. Mm-hmm. But if you want to bring it to a friend's house, you know, if you're going somewhere else for Thanksgiving as your addition, it would make a wow. It's, I think it's made differently. Maybe your guests could correct me, but I think it's made with sort of dried grapes rather than fresh grapes. And it's so rich and so smooth. It's like drinking velvet.
Ooh, like that description.
Velvet is good.
Tell us about our caller. I wanted to know if she was right about the grapes.
Well, so Malbec is a grape variety, mostly grown in Argentina, and though it originally comes from France. The process of making it over dried grapes is a process called Pasito, and there may be some Malbecs made that way. The classic wine that's made that way is Amarone from Italy, which is, in fact, a big, rich, velvety wine. Costs a lot of money. There's probably a couple of people in Argentina who are making Malbec that way. Malbec is definitely a big, powerful red. You can get pretty good Malbecs for $17-$18. You know, Catena makes a nice Malbec at that price. You can also move up the ladder and hit $40-$60. There are really ambitious wines being made down there right now, and it's actually a pretty exciting region for wine at the moment.
Let's check in with Savannah, who's called in from Park Slope on line 7. Hi, Savannah.
Hello.
What are you recommending?
So I have to first give a shout out to my amazing wine store in my neighborhood, Slope Cellars, because they got me hooked on this wine. I love Cabernets. It's kind of exclusively what I drink or what I prefer to drink. And they got me hooked on to Wyatt Cabernet, which is awesome. It's super affordable. It's $14 a bottle. And I haven't met a soul who didn't love it. So yay.
So yay. Yay for local wine store. Exactly. Yay. So Ray, in our final moments, let's say it's the end of the night. We've gone through Thanksgiving dinner. We've watched the parade. We've watched some football. And it's the end of night glass of wine.
Well, I think you should go for sweet wine. I think that's, you know, that's kind of the end of the night, wrap it up, especially if you have a fireplace, great in front of the fireplace, great with dessert too. If you want something light and slightly bubbly and fruity, Moscato d'Asti is a great choice. Again, not very expensive. If you want the richer, more caramelized, I mean, I'm probably thinking of this because I'm in Italy at the moment, but Vinsanto, which is the great sweet wine of Chianti. It tastes like liquefied, you know, toffee and caramelized citrus rinds, and it's super delicious and not terribly cheap, but really, really good.
So. Well, since you are in Italy, what's your favorite Italian wine?
Well, I've just spent about a week in Piedmont researching Barolo and Barbaresco, and I have to admit I do, and because, you know, I'm feeling extremely fortunate, I also got to eat white truffles repeatedly. So I love Barolo. I think it's one of the great wines of the world. It ages spectacularly. It's gorgeous when it's young. It can be pricey, but mm-hmm. you know, it's the season is coming up. If you're going to, you know, why not splurge for at least one dinner during the holidays? And a great Barolo is not a bad choice.
Oh, I had to do a story there in that area. We did a lot of that. A lot of that Barolo.
It's powerful, but it's really good.
You just saw me put my head in my hands when I said that.
I saw that.
Ray Isle is executive editor for wine at Food and Wine Magazine. Hey, Ray, happy holidays, safe travels. Thanks for making the time for us.
Thanks. Happy holidays to you, Allison. We'll talk after the first of the year, I guess.
Sure will.